Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not flash guarding anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
The Lightning Bolt, Usain Bolt, and Ethiopian distance runner Almaz Ayana were named the IAAF's Male and Female Athletes of the Year over the weekend in Monaco. Ladies first, the 25-year-old Almaz won two medals at this year's Rio Olympics in Brazil, a gold in the 10,000 meters and a bronze in the 5,000 meters. In the 10,000 meters, Almaz Ayana ran the fastest time ever by a woman, 29 minutes and 17.45 seconds, smashing the previous world record by more than 14 seconds. The 30-year-old Lightning Bolt, meanwhile, won the Male Athlete of the Year award for a record sixth time. In Rio, Bolt duplicated his achievements from the 2012 Olympics in London and the 2008 Olympics in Beijing, winning gold in the 100 meters, the 200 meters, and the 4x100-meter team relay. As the world record holder at both 100 meters and 200 meters, Usain Bolt is regarded by most people, including yours truly, as the greatest sprinter in history. The Lightning Bolt is planning to retire next year after the World Championships in London. The Jamaican star was asked at the awards ceremony in Monaco what he'll miss after he hangs up his track spikes for good.
Definitely competing. I love competing. I dream of just being in the stadiums, competing against the best. For me, so that's one thing I'll miss, and the crowd, the energy that I feel, and the chills that I get when I walk into a stadium and I do that first stride out and they go up in just loud noise, that chill that I get, I'll miss that the most.
Meanwhile, Usain Bolt told the crowd in Monaco that he hasn't ruled out a career in the movies.
I think I'd definitely be a great action star.
Yes.
I see myself, you know what I mean, like a next
Bond.
Jason Bourne.
What about James Bond?
I'm not a Bond guy, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna lie. I'm more of a aggressor, you know what I mean? Jason Stratham type of thing, okay. You know what I mean?
Usain Bolt is quite comfortable in front of the cameras doing his Lightning Bolt pose and other stunts. So who knows? Maybe he will become an action star in the movies. And he's also starring in a new documentary, I Am Bolt, which looks at his record-breaking career. The Lightning Bolt attended the premiere in London and talked about what the film shows.
Concept of me is that, oh, Usain, it's easy for Usain. It's no stress. You know what I mean? That's what most people always say to me when they see me, like, oh, you make it look so easy, but it's not. So I wanted to make people see what I went through to get to where I'm at today, you know what I mean? And for me, these guys, they really captured that for me. And it was, when I watched the movie, it was so good because I could feel all emotions throughout everything. Like I was reliving my life again when I was watching that. And that's why I was really so pleased about what they have done because they captured everything that I wanted them to capture. And I'm knowing that when people watch this, they will feel the same way that I'm feeling. And that's what I wanted people to see, the struggles, the pain, the triumph, and just the stress that I've been through. And then I have more insights also on my life. Because most people feel like what I do when I act weird and goofy on the camera, they feel like it's I'm pretending, I'm acting. But that's how I genuinely am when I'm by myself or just chilling with my friends. That's just who I am as a person.
Also attending the premiere of the I Am Bolt documentary in London was the 9-time Olympic champion's mother, Jennifer Bolt.
As a child, you know, he started from a very early age showing that he was interested in running. Not that we really had known that, but because of how he used to, because he was very energetic, yes. And so he'd keep running, you know, and I would have to be running after him. So from there and then we realized that there was some athletics in his blood.
That's Jennifer Bolt, the mother of Jamaican superstar Usain Bolt, speaking in London at the premiere of her son's new documentary film, I Am Bolt. In women's football, here's a sunny side of sports salute to the Super Falcons of Nigeria, who won their record-extending 10th African title over the weekend in Cameroon. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as other sports news.
Nigeria defeated host Cameroon 1-0 in the final of the 2016 African Women's Cup of Nations. Desire Akparanoze gave the Super Falcons the victory over the Indomitable Lionesses in a tensed match we could have gone either way. Nigeria's Asisat Oshoala won the 2016 African Women's Cup of Nations Golden Boot after she finished the tournament with 6 goals, 3 clear of Akparanoze and Ghana's Elizabeth Adol.
I feel very happy and excited about this. It's like an historical movement, and I'm happy to be part of this history for my nation.
Francesca Odega and Onome Ebi were excited over the improved performance that saw them emerge African champions.
Yeah, I feel excited. I'm so happy because it's like a dream come true, you know.
I'm so happy, despite the fact I have this.
To Ghana now, where Aduana Stars clinched the 2016 G6 title after beating giant Hearts of Oak 4-3 on penalties. Former Ghanaian under-17 goalkeeper Joseph Adou emerged hero of the night as he saved 2 penalties to steer Yusuf Abubakar's side to victory. In Nigeria, Lobi Stars emerged winners of the 2016 Gold Cup preseason tournament following a 4-3 penalty shootout win against Mountain of Fire Ministries FC at the Otumba Dikpo Stadium in Ejobode on Sunday. And from Egypt comes a report that Zamalek have filed a complaint with the Egyptian Football Association against understudy goalkeeper Mahmoud Ghanish due to his unpermitted absence from training. New England boss Gareth Southgate wants Wilfred Zaha to remain an option for the Three Lions rather than see him switch his national allegiance to the Ivory Coast. The 24-year-old Crystal Palace winger was born in the Ivory Coast and moved to England with his family when he was just 4 years old. He picked up 2 senior England's caps during Roy Hodgson's tenure, but he's eligible to switch to his country of birth as both appearances came in friendlies. The nominees for Globe Soccer 2016 Best Arab Player have been announced, with Mohamed Salah of Egypt, Morocco's Mehdi Benatia and Algerian Riyad Mahrez all up for the award. The winners will be announced at the Globe Soccer Gala Awards on the evening of December 27th at the Midat Jamara in Dubai. To marathon news now, Yemane Sege of Ethiopia has won the 70th Fukuoka International Marathon, an IWAF Gold Label Road Race on Sunday. Running in difficult conditions, the 31-year-old who won the silver medal at the 2015 World Championships clocked 2 hours, 8 minutes, 48 seconds to prevent 2-time defending champion Patrick Makao from Kenya from collecting a 3rd straight victory. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Japanese golfer Hideki Matsuyama has been the hottest player in the sport the past 2 months. He clinched his 4th title in his past 5 tournaments over the weekend in the Bahamas. The 24-year-old Matsuyama won the Hero World Challenge in NASA, a tournament that also featured the return to competition of Tiger Woods, the official host. Matsuyama won by two strokes over British Open champion Henrik Stenson, finishing at 18 under par, 270. Speaking through a translator, Matsuyama said it was a great honor to win at Tiger's tournament. The Japanese player received a first-place prize of $1 million. Tiger Woods, meanwhile, was playing in his first tournament in more than 15 months after having two back surgeries last year. And while Tiger finished 14 shots behind Matsuyama and near the bottom of the field, he sounds happy with his return to golf.
I thought I made some good positive things happen this week, making a lot of birdies, but also made a lot of mistakes. Most of those mistakes I can clean up. I know they're silly mistakes, missing the ball on the wrong side, letting the wind take it, you know, just not being committed on a couple shots, you know, just things that I don't normally do that I did. And that's something that I know I can clean up. I thought I might have created a little bit of noise a little bit here and there after a couple starts. I just wasn't able to keep it going for two of those rounds. But, you know, overall, it was a fun competitive week for me.
American golf star Tiger Woods speaking in Nassau, the Bahamas. Reporter Loic Youth joins us now with a look at some of the European club football highlights. But first, Loic has a tribute to a Brazilian football club. Sporty greetings, Loic!
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny, and a warm welcome to all you listeners. Now, in a week when the footballing world suffered a tragedy in South America, we all united together behind Chapecoense. News came out that they were awarded the Copa Sudamericana, the trophy they were on their way to play for, and they also received money raised from this weekend's El Clásico featuring second-place Barcelona versus first-place Real Madrid. The La Liga giants clashed at a Nou Camp this Saturday, and Barcelona felt hard done by after a late equalizer from Sergio Ramos cancelled out Luis Suarez's header. Ramos is well known for his late but important headers, and Zidane's men stay on top, 6 points ahead of Luis Enrique's men. Sevilla has been impressive this season under Sampaoli, and they were looking to build on last week's win when they traveled to Granada. However, it's the team in the relegation zone that pulled off a shock 2-1 win to lift them off the foot of the table. But Atletico Madrid's scoreless draw with Espanyol keeps Sevilla in third, while the team from the capital completes the top four. Villarreal's trip to Leganes was the last scoreless draw of the weekend, but just one out of six draws, with the most exciting one coming at Real Betis, who conceded an 84th minute header in a 6-goal thriller. Iago Aspas got a double for Celta de Vigo on the day, and tensions flared somewhat when Petros was given his marching orders in stoppage time. Athletic Bilbao bounced back from last week's defeat with a 3-1 win over Eibar, both teams sitting on 7th and 8th respectively in the table. There was another 3-1 win in Gijon as Sporting overcame Osasuna in a bottom-of-the-table clash. Osasuna now winless in their last 6, while for Sporting it was a welcome win not having tasted 3 points since match day 3. Finally, Deportivo Alaves and Las Palmas played out to a 1-0 draw with 2 early goals in each half, and Malaga traveled to Mestalla to take on Valencia. That one ended 2-2 with Malaga rescuing it late on. I take you guys to England now, where I'm running out of descriptions for the flow of goals, controversy and late drama. The match day began with a tasty clash at the Etihad as Chelsea took on Manchester City, and what an exciting match it was. City could and should have capitalized on their chances following Cahill's on goal, but Diogo Costa came alive in the second half where he scored and set up Willian before Eden Hazard smashed Chelsea to a 3-1 win. It got ugly later on as Aguero and Fernandinho got sent off for violent conduct. Chelsea London rival Arsenal and Spurs were in scoring mood as both hit their opponents for 5. Bob Bradley was looking to build on his first Premier League win but faced a wounded Spurs side which saw Kane and Eriksen score twice in the rout. Arsenal took advantage of City's slip to climb to second after a convincing performance at the London Stadium. Alexis Sanchez got a hat-trick and an assist, putting him level on the scoring charts with top man Diego Costa. Andy Carroll made a comeback from injury and got yet again another goal against the Gunners after his hat-trick in this fixture last year. Leicester's title defense, or lack of it should I say, continued after losing at Sunderland. That means Sunderland move off the foot of the table while relegation could be a reality for Ranieri. West Brom beat 10-man Watford 3-1. Burnley left Stoke on the receiving end of a 2-0 defeat, while Crystal Palace thumped Southampton 3-0 to arrest a run of 7 defeats in their last 8. Southampton keeper Foster must have watched Paul Robinson, as his early air kick will surely go down in blunders of the season. Two games on Sunday where Manchester United let a 1-goal lead slip, conceding an 89th-minute penalty at Everton. However, the weekend was well rounded off as Bournemouth beat Liverpool 4-3. Liverpool, though wasteful in their chances, found themselves 3-1 up on 64 minutes. But comebacks like these are what we fans live for. The Cherries got their second and never looked back. For the neutral, it was pure entertainment. And that's what happened in this match day. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Loic. I enjoyed that wrap-up of some of the highlights in European club football. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Andrew, we just heard a report from Loic Youth, and at the beginning of his report, he talked about Chapo Quense, that ill-fated Brazilian club that dominated the news last week. Most of the team killed in a plane crash in Colombia. Are they still trending, Chapo Quense?
They are indeed. In fact, the team was declared this past weekend the Copa Sudamericana champions posthumously. Of course, that was where they were flying to in Medellin, Colombia. They were going to play there when the plane crashed. And so they've been declared the champions at a memorial service at Arena Conda, which is where they play. And a lot of the social media reaction has been reaction to this memorial service. We saw photos on social media of a banner that they were holding up, fans were holding up at that stadium that said, "In front of death, there are no colors or nations. Farewell, champions." So some really moving words there. And then we had some big names that were there speaking at that memorial service, among them FIFA president Gianni Infantino. He said he wanted to leave the crowd with a hug of solidarity from the world of football and say that FIFA is by your side, not just today, but always. Forza Chape, we are all Brazilians, we are all Chapecoenses. So that hashtag Forza Chape has been trending, as people have used that Chape force, even in death, still a force. And the Brazilian president also making remarks there at that memorial service in front of thousands of fans. So something that's getting a lot of attention on social media.
Nice to see the Colombian club giving the trophy to Chapo Quense. I've also read reports, Andrew, that some of the other Brazilian football clubs might be actually giving the team players free of charge, so to speak, so they can rebuild that that team and move on. But it's going to be a rough road for sure.
It is, unfortunately for them. And it's actually gone even now outside of Brazil. We're seeing even international players stepping up and saying that they would be willing to play if asked. The Icelandic soccer star Eider Gudjonsson said, "Out of respect, I would play for Chapecoense if they have a place for me." He tweeting that out just yesterday. Now, the second part of this tweet is a little controversial. He says, "If not just to play with Ronaldinho again." Now, Ronaldinho, the rumor is on social media that he has said he's going to play for Chapecoense. However, he has not announced that. And this kind of stems around a photo that's going around the internet where he's holding up a green jersey with his name on it. Apparently this photo, people have said, oh, this means he's going to sign with the team. He's going to play with them free of charge. There are all these rumors that have been swirling on social media around this photo. Well, it turns out this photo is from 2008. It's actually when he was making a donation to UNICEF, and they honored him by giving him a green jersey with his name on it. However, he did tweet out Ronaldinho on his Twitter account a picture of him wearing a green T-shirt with that hashtag Forza Chape. So he is supporting the team. No word yet on if he's coming out of retirement to actually play for them, but he does have them in his thoughts and prayers for sure. But we continue to see this, players reaching out on social media saying, if asked, I would be more than willing to play. So I expect that to continue.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, in the world of American football, this is a story we spoke about, I don't know, maybe a few months ago even, the NFL's new social media policy. Now, this created a lot of controversy at the time. It banned teams from putting up on social media any video of the games. I think it was an hour before kickoff and about an hour or so after the game ended. They couldn't post any video unless the NFL had posted it first. And this, as a result, the NFL was tagged as the hashtag No Fun League. Teams were doing some creative things. I think the Philadelphia Eagles used the kind of tabletop football characters on popsicle sticks to try to make their own plays instead of using the game footage. Well, NFL is now addressing this, and they are changing the policy. As of next week, they will be loosening those rules. So teams will be allowed to put up some GIFs and things. They can post images from the halftime, from the sidelines, fan shots, things like that. Still no game footage, but touchdown celebrations will be allowed. So that's something that often gets a lot of attention, as some of the players have some creative touchdown celebrations. One player in on the Green Bay Packers, and it was snowing over the weekend in their game, made a snow angel during his touchdown celebration. So they get a lot of attention there. So that's loosening of that policy a little bit. And the NFL has announced that they're going to partner with the website Giphy as the sole source of high-quality and authentic NFL GIFs. So starting next year, you'll see that. So we might be able to see a little bit of the gameplay through the NFL through that Giphy partnership next year. The other thing that's very interesting out of this announcement, Sonny, they are going to allow Snapchat up to five snaps per game per team of live footage. So other than television, it looks like Snapchat is the only way that teams can transmit live footage on social media. I don't know if that was intentional or not. They may have to go back and revise that, and they may not have realized that they gave teams this authority, but teams will actually be able to put up some live footage, just not on Twitter or Facebook.
Andrew, you used that expression, no fun league, to describe the NFL. Well, one player in particular who's had a lot of fun over the years, Tom Brady, the New England Patriots quarterback. I gave a Sunny Side of Sports salute earlier to the Super Falcons of Nigeria for winning their latest African women's soccer title. Well, let's give Brady a salute also. On Sunday, his 201st victory as quarterback. No other quarterback in history has won that many games in the No Fun League.
In the No Fun League. And I begrudgingly congratulate Tom Brady as a New York Jets fan, of course, the big rivals of the New England Patriots, although not much this year. The Jets haven't been doing very well, unfortunately. But another quarterback, actually, other than Tom Brady, making trending news has been Cam Newton of the Carolina Panthers for something that has been dubbed Tiegate.
If
you were watching the Sunday night football game last night between the Carolina Panthers and the Seattle Seahawks, as I was, a lot of fans were bewildered that Cam Newton did not start the game. Very odd, people wondering why this was. He's the starting quarterback, he's the star of the team. Apparently what happened was he was traveling with the team, and Coach Ron Rivera has a rule that when you travel with the team, you have to wear a tie. Problem is, Cam Newton didn't pack a shirt that he could wear a tie with. He had, I guess, just turtlenecks and no collar shirts, so he decided to wear a turtleneck with a blazer instead, and as a result of this, Ron Rivera, the coach, punished him by making him sit for the first play of the game. A lot of fans unhappy with this, especially because the backup quarterback that went in there threw an interception, and the Seattle Seahawks ended up scoring on the first play of the game. So people saying that Ron Rivera, the coach, running his team like a boarding school. He said, this is the NFL, not high school. Let's put your best players out there, even if they violate a silly rule like that. So the other thing we've talked about in the past, Cam Newton, very sartorial, wears a lot of interesting, flashy clothes. Somebody put up a picture of all his other outfits and said, how could that be worse than these outfits? And some of his more interesting choices. So he's making news again for what he's wearing, not necessarily because it's flashy, but because he didn't wear a tie. And that cost his team at least 3 points. So they lost the game anyway.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Andrew, we'll hear from you again on Tuesday.
Sounds good.
And that wraps up the December 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Wojtek Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
This month, U.S. Ambassador to Malawi, Virginia Palmer, announced a new United States donation of $23 million to assist the Malawian people in need of humanitarian food assistance. This additional donation is in response to the Malawi Vulnerability Assessment Committee's report that 6.5 million Malawians need humanitarian food assistance to alleviate suffering through March 2017. All of these funds will be channeled through the United Nations World Food Program. Of the $23 million, $18 million will be used to help fill deficits in pulses and super cereals needed for the 2016-2017 Food Insecurity Response Plan, while $5 million will be used to purchase ready-to-use therapeutic food for HIV patients currently being treated with antiretroviral therapy, or ART. The latter is particularly important to preserve gains made to date in HIV treatment, as malnourished patients tend to discontinue ART without access to food to ameliorate the treatment's side effects. To further preserve development gains in other sectors, the United States government has also reprogrammed $12 million of previously planned investments in agricultural development and climate change adaptation programs. These were longer-term investments that now have been redirected to enhance the United States' responsiveness to the dire food security situation Malawi currently faces. They are primarily food-for-work activities, whereby beneficiaries will receive food for their contributions to resilience-building measures, such as afforestation, soil and water conservation, and small-scale irrigation. The additional assistance made available to Malawi brings the United States' total contribution to the 2016-2017 Food Insecurity Response Plan to nearly $118 million, equivalent to about 30% of the plan's $395 million estimated cost. Ambassador Palmer added that the United States will continue to work with the government of Malawi to break the cycle of food insecurity. The United States government continues to stand by Malawians in their time of need. But together, said Ambassador Palmer, we recognize that policy and market predictability are critical if Malawi's farmers are to become entrepreneurs, if agribusinesses are to invest, and if Malawi is to transform its agriculture sector from a source of vulnerability to an engine for growth.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Next on Let's Talk, the act and art of modeling. How popular is it in Africa? Would you choose modeling as a career? Join host Sunday Shomari and his guests discussing modeling. Let's Talk comes to you Mondays at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Next on Straight Talk Africa, Fidel Castro ruled Cuba for 47 years, leaving an imprint on almost every major revolutionary effort in Africa after 1959. Join us for an in-depth look at Castro's impact on Africa. That's right here on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.